At Lochloy, the first spade went in 1996, and two somewhat checkered decades later, what was promised as a 350-home development has continued to spread and sprawl and now stands at more than 700 houses, with 115 more planned in the phase known as Meadowlea at Kingsteps. The backstory of Lochloy is described by Nairn River Community Council as complex and tangled, with aspects of it which really rankle, as you'll hear. At the time of this podcast, residents were preparing for a site visit by the Highland Council's South Planning Applications Committee. I spoke to a Lochloy resident, Lorraine Thompson. She has a high-level professional background in NHS governance and data management and is one of the community's most clarion voices on the, well, let's just call them inconsistencies of this application.
My name's Lorraine Thompson. I'm chair of the Nairn Residents Concern Group for the last 10 years, and we work basically to help the people of Nairn on all planning issues and matters of local democracy, and just making sure that local government is accountable and do things by procedure and do what is right, and don't try to, let's say, bend the rules. About Lochloy, I don't think a lot of people actually appreciate it. They don't realise what has gone before, and when you get the title deeds from the registrar, you actually find out what's actually going on in the background. There's a lot of serious question marks, I think, that need to be answered, because the council put a lot of money and bought up various pieces of land for that then to be just given across and sold to private developers. When we came up at first, it was just trees and everything over there, but it's going further and further and further towards Colban, and the trees are getting less and less and less.
Did you know that was going to happen when you bought your place?
No. When I looked at the local development plan, it said there would be 350 houses up here, and that's what I based my assessment when we bought the house. And when I asked the developer at that time, they said, no, that was all it was 350 houses. Well, if the Kingsteps application goes ahead, there will be 843. So it's a somewhat massive increase over the local development plan.
And what do you think that'll do to you people here?
We all like our development. We like Nairn. We just feel that at the moment, we're just becoming a big sprawling mass. If they give consent to the additional houses that they're going to have at Kingsteps, there will be well over 840 houses. Now, most people up here have at least two cars. Some people have more than two cars. So when you look at the actual number of cars, it's quite extraordinary for just one access and one exit point. And everything has to go down Montgomery Road. So then when you also think a lot of the people that are coming up here are buying, it's three-bedroom houses, four-bedroom houses, five-bedroom houses. When they're coming up with the children need to have somewhere to go to school. Now, we had a school site up here. This side of the town is growing, so it would have made more sense. And it's been in the Nairnshire plan since 2000 and was all the way through until the current owners of the site, which is Springfield, decided they wanted to build more houses. And it was almost as if it was a statement, well, we want to use all the land. And it was almost as if Highland Council basically said, well, oh, that's all right, mate. You can go and take the school site and you can build more houses. And that's what they did. We can't even get our sewers fixed. We can't even say, well, when we go on the beach, our beaches are going to be clear of poo. We want to promote tourism up here. We want to promote our lovely, clean environment. But we're being asked to take all the housing, but we're not being given any of the infrastructure. When you consider that the council had passed a resolution saying before they did anything, they had to have the infrastructure in place. Now, they have never, ever done anything about the infrastructure. But they have built another 800, well, they will be building, if this is consented, 843 houses. They've already passed a planning consent for 300 houses at Delnies. They were trying to pass it for Sandown, and that was appealed and dismissed. They are trying to put in at least another 600 odd houses at Nairn South. When you actually consider the size of Nairn and the problems we have with infrastructure, with roads, with just all sorts of infrastructure services, it is absolutely ridiculous that the council should be moving forward with housing plans when they know we don't have an adequate water supply, we don't have adequate sewage, the roads are all congested, we don't have adequate schools, we don't have enough GPs, we don't have dental services. They know all these things, but it's almost as if all they can see is let's build houses, and once they're up, well, that's somebody else's problem. We've got a really good town here. There's people with tremendous skill sets, and they've all been working hard. We've been doing lots of presentations. People understand about the Community Empowerment Act. People understand about the local governance review. People understand about Highland democracy. And they want to participate. They want to be consulted. But we are not being consulted. Highland Council has passed so many different resolutions saying they agree with community empowerment. And to put it in simple terms, it's very good that them all making all this verbiage about, yes, we support it and we're going to really help the communities. They pass it in their corporate plans. They passed it in Highland Voices and Choices. They've even got it mentioned in their corporate risks register. All of which you would think they would be moving ahead and getting out there and talking to the people, because we know what our communities need. But they haven't even spoken to one of us, not one single community. The car parking escapade that we had basically just highlights the fact that Highland Council are continuing along the same lines that they've always done. They make the decisions and then they come to us and say, this is how you will implement it. And so it's going to be another tick box exercise. That isn't what the government spent all these years trying to get a Community Empowerment Act through. It hasn't spent all these millions of pounds trying to get all this legislation down. We've a new planning bill coming through that says people should be allowed to prepare and produce their own local place plan, because they know what's going on in their communities, etc. And yet here we have them basically saying, well, you're not getting a seat at the table really for the community planning partnership. And any time any of us have gone along, they've told us, sit at the back of the room and don't say anything. So you begin to wonder, is there a deliberate movement from the senior officers? Are they trying to protect their little empires by basically not allowing the people to have a say? Because we've all now, we've got such a wide wealth of expertise, and everybody is so keen to participate that we could be taking these decisions locally. And they went ahead and they produced a local outcome improvement plan, which was a generic Highland-wide improvement plan. But that's not what it says in the guidance. The guidance is saying plans should be for the local place. It should meet the needs of the local place. These plans don't meet the needs of the local place. We would love to have been able to have contributed to that, but we didn't even know. I didn't know, and I've been doing this for years, that they'd even produced this local outcome improvement plan. And when you say to them, well, why didn't you consult? And they say, well, we consulted the citizens panel. Well, who's the citizens panel? Well, it's just people that write in and fill out forms. Or you never visited the website, but the website doesn't actually give you the opportunity to do things. So they sort of say with one hand that they're trying to do things and then they take it back in another.
Highland Council has the opportunity to do all the things Lorraine wants it to do, principally listen to and actually hear residents when they visit the controversial Meadowleigh site at King's Depths on August the 8th. Residents like Morton Gillespie, whose home is significantly impacted by the proposals. I went to see him and we sat in his back garden to look out over the peaceful rolling fields and meadows earmarked for 115 houses.
As you can see, when we first moved here, this was horses and sheep totally rural, and over the years we've watched the Meadow Lea development creeping closer and closer, and it's now on the far distance there. Unfortunately, if this new development goes ahead, it's going to get even closer, right up to our back garden fence, and a rural field and the trees and the wildlife environment will be totally lost.
I can't quite get over the fact that they're going to build right up to your fence when there's a fence at the back there, maybe about 50 metres away, maybe longer, yeah. Which is where they originally said they were going to build up to.
That's interesting. On the Murray First development plan, the original site stopped at that far fence, which meant there was, as you say, about 50 metres separation. When Springfield put in their application, suddenly they'd extended it right up to the rear boundary of the houses. So in effect, we're going to have houses backing straight onto our fence.
Yeah. And when you presumably object to that and point out, no, that's not what was in the plan, what's their attitude?
Well, the attitude seems to be that Springfield can do whatever they want, as was the number of houses. I mean, 90 houses was what was proposed for the site, and the reporter at that time expressed doubt as to whether 90 houses could actually be accommodated. Springfield have come up with 115 houses, and the planners seem quite happy. They're not bothered. They don't see that being a problem.
It's strange, considering there is a flood risk there. There's all manner of wildlife. It is crammed into a very sort of special green area.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's a lot of wildlife. There's badgers which have been recorded. I think there's 15 active badger sets out there, which are protected species. And that raises another issue, because they eventually come up with what they call the mitigation plan, which I'm not an expert on wildlife, but the mitigation plan seems to be to effectively pen the badgers in by putting in what they call badger fencing, which confines them and encourages them to more or less move elsewhere. I've raised this with the badger protection people and SNH, but surprisingly SNH don't seem to have any problems with that. So in effect, they're not really protecting the badgers, they're trying to move them out elsewhere, but badgers being badgers, you know, they may not be happy to move. There's also lots of birds. There's a lot of wildlife, and it's a shame to lose that last bit of green wildlife environment between Kingsteps and Nairn itself.
And quite apart from the flood risk that I've seen photographic evidence of, are you at all anxious about the access roads?
Access road, yeah. We've argued, we've got experts on the road traffic congestion, etc., and they have more or less torn apart the OVARUP, who are the traffic consultant, who put in a big report and concluded that the building 115 houses would have absolutely no impact on the road traffic throughout Nairn. We found this incredible to believe, because already Nairn is recognised as being congested. The big problem in Nairn is with traffic lights, and the biggest problem is with the traffic lights at Lochloy Road Junction, because it's regularly used with traffic coming in and out. There must be about 900 to 1,000 houses will be serviced over there, all of which have to channel through Lochloy Road onto the 96 at that junction. So the junction is regularly used. Every time somebody comes out the junction, it holds up the traffic on the A96 and causes huge tailbacks.
And in bad weather, I imagine that's just a nightmare.
It is, yeah. I mean, there's plenty of evidence of huge tailbacks, and there's other thing, there's bus stops either side of the junction, so if a bus stops, then again the traffic gets held up. So traffic congestion is an issue, but again, they seem to just dismiss that and say it's not a problem. There is plans for a bypass, but you know, that could be, what, 10 years away. It's interesting, the provost of Nairn, Laurie Fraser, he objected to this site being allocated for housing purely on the grounds of infrastructure and traffic problems. He said you can't develop this until the bypass is in place, because the infrastructure is not there. So we've got traffic congestion, we've got issues with water pressure. The poor people who bought houses over there apparently can't even have a shower because the water pressure is insufficient. We've got problems with sewage. Scottish Water say that the sewage works has got the capacity, which is probably correct, but the problem is not in the sewage works. The problem is getting the sewage from the housing down to the sewage works, and it's what they call a combined system, which takes both stormwater and foul sewage. So every time you get heavy rain, it overflows, the sewage can't cope, the drains can't cope, and it overflows into the River Nairn down onto our beach. Scottish Water again just deny this has been a problem.
I can't understand all the ostriches' heads in the sand about every single issue that seems very rational that, that the community is raising, but still the thing goes on. What are your plans for the site visit on August the 8th?
Site visit, we want to, even prior to site visit, raise our profile, get as much publicity as we want. We'll be putting placards along our little road through Nairn, stating, for example, when you come in, there's a sign that says King Steps. Underneath that will be a placard saying, not Nairn. Because so that the planning officer realises this is not Nairn. Various wording which we're putting together. We're hoping to get these up in place probably at least a week before the site visit. And of course, during the site visit, hopefully I'll be allowed access onto the bus and we will to point out to the councillors the various issues. I must say, we're happy that they're having a site visit. I think that's important because a lot of the councillors who sit in the committee probably have no knowledge of the site, so they're just sitting in the council chamber, reading a report, looking at drawings. By having a site visit, then they can see the actual problem. So I'm very grateful that our local councillors insisted on that and it's going ahead. Because we think we've put together really well-argued, researched objections backed up by planning policies, etc. And we're really, really amazed that the planners have just chosen to ignore these.
Finally, it's worth noting something pointed out by Lorraine Thompson. She told me consent is in place in West Kingsteps for 5 houses on 1 hectare of land. The original proposal was for 6 houses, but that was reduced to 5 because 6 was seen as an overdevelopment. Using this proportion on the 6.3 hectares where the 115 homes are proposed would equate to 34 houses. Where is the consistency of approach, she wonders?